Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to WSCIRO Blog Talk Radio. And WSCIRO stands for Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I am Dr. Shirley Kenneth, your co-host, and I represent Seek Christian Teaching and Worship Center of Greater Boston. And we're from New England, and it is snowing out. It's we're at October 18th, 2009, not even wintertime, and it's 4:35. I must say, I'm really very, very baffled, but you know what? The Lord is the Lord of the weather, and he knows what he's doing, and that's all I have to say about that. My husband did tell me, and he's not here, unfortunately, but he's here in spirit. But my husband did tell me in August, he happened to see that the squirrels' tails were bushy. And for many of you, it sounds like an old wives' tale, but, you know, it makes biological sense if they are getting ready for an early winter. You know, nature dictates that the hair of animals grows heavier in anticipation of the next season, okay? So I believe that's what God's doing, spiritually, even in the body of Christ, his bride, the church, that as we are about ready to go into the next season of our lives, of what he is wanting to do in the body of Christ, he usually gives an indication within our spirit when he's about ready to change. And it's usually on a corporate level, and usually other people get the same kind of discernment. And it's just really wonderful to see the unity and the flow of the Holy Spirit and how he's moving his people in that way, you know. And the new buzzword is, like, you know, he's really wanting to go after those things, okay, that would stand in the way of the next season stripping us. So in reality, right, in the physical season, we're moving into from fall to winter. For those who live on outside of the world, the eastern hemisphere, we're the western, I don't even know what hemisphere we're on, but we're on the other side of the world compared to the other, you know, the other people are, you know, like in Australia, they must be going into the summer months. We're going into the winter months. And so when Christmas comes, I believe that South Africa will be having summer weather and going swimming and enjoying the sunshine. And we will be having winter, okay? So that's how it works. But anyways, but if you're part of the body of Christ, baptized believer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we are all, you know, members of the body of Christ, as it says in Corinthians, and we go through similar seasons no matter what part of the world we're on, because we are part of the same body of Christ. So what happens is that when, you know, if we go into the next level, if we are open individually to what the Lord wants to do within each one of us, and we have to say yes, because we have free will, each person has free will, okay, so we're not left out of that next season, we have to be obedient, we have to, surrender to what God wants to do, to his will, you know, surrender our will to his will, and when we do that, we partake of the same move of what God wants to do. And so, you know, what the buzzword is in the Holy Spirit is that some of us are still carrying the same luggage, you know, and what worked in the previous season, what you were able to get away with by the mercy and grace of God in the former season, because we're called to go deeper because of a greater glory that's coming, and the Lord, you know, you can't stand in the glory with the baggage from the former season, that we have to give that, you know, be willing to entrust God to take that which we were walking in, you know, in the former season, that, you know, the thing that hinders us from receiving the fullness of the glory that the Lord wants us to walk into. So, you know, the Lord was dealing with me with certain words of the mouth. I'm not saying I was not swearing or anything, but, you know, what happens is that I'm a bus driver, okay, and certain things happen in traffic that it kind of like scratch your head and you're like, why did they do that? But, you know, it didn't sound like that at the time when, you know, an accident almost occurred, which was the other person's fault. It was more like, you know, I used a substitute expletive, which was not quite a swear, but the Lord sent an angel to me in my dream last night and told me that that substitute word that wasn't a swear word, but, you know, you can apply it to be that. It's just like swearing, so I have to give that up because the words of our mouth are very powerful, and in this new move, the Holy Spirit, our words, we're going to be accountable for everything that we are saying, and the Lord wants to move in power and glory, He's bringing a weight of glory to the words of our mouth. So He's preparing people to want to speak life and to speak to create a miracle and to be a clean vessel, because it says in Scripture that, you know, we in James 3, we can pave the way of good and evil with the words of our mouth. Our very words of our mouth, our tongue, can bring us to everlasting glory, or it can bring us into the depths of hell or anybody else. So we really have to really watch out what we're saying. And even in psychology, you know, when we have to, the brain is a very, very mysterious organ in our body, living organ, and a mystery, you know, like I just said. And what happens is that, you know, we can determine the brain development, a very, you know, brain function by the words of our mouth. If we, you know, speak words of love and grace, all those wonderful things, all those virtues and gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have good brain development. And especially when we worship, you know, worship brings us into that realm where, as the presence of the Lord is released amongst us in worship, many people have had wonderful healings of brain chemistry, you know, because of new neurological passageways that the frequency of sound, cause. You know, when you sing at certain frequencies and certain pitches and tones, there's something with our neurons in our brain that respond to it. You know, this is why when a baby is born into this world in the first year of life, many times, and I remember this when I was a new young mother some odd years ago, almost 30 years ago, that whenever I spoke to my baby, I would start to speak in like high frequency tones or sing. I'm thinking, so why am I speaking to my baby like, ooh, their high pitch? Because that is a natural tendency put there by God for the mother to activate the language receptors in the child's brain that needs that high pitch sound in order to develop those neurological passageways that determine cognitive skills through language development. So, you know, this is like, this is wonderful that our God who made us, made the heavens and the earth, and made our bodies and all our organs to respond to His Spirit in every way that we are not even aware of, okay? There is, there's benefits, spiritual benefits to our physical well-being that can cause us to really walk in the power, complete power and glory in our physical bodies, you know, but we have to be in total agreement. Our tongue has to be in total agreement to the words that are coming out of God's mouth. So, why did I say all that? It's because the theme of the show, and I just spoke to, before I called into the show, I just spoke to our dear friend Kate Fuego, Nana, her, now she's Shulamite, Caitlin Fuego Nana, and she had been on a show several shows ago. She's going to come on. She's from Georgia. And it says on her Facebook profile, she's also from Lakeland, okay? So there's a really strong Florida Revival Lakeland connection. It goes right back to, I think, Ronnie Howard Brown, too. That's how, you know, since she was a baby. But she's going to come on as a guest. And we're going to just see what else the Lord wants to say about this. But the Lord had tapped me on the shoulder because I'd asked him, well, Lord, what's the theme of the show? Sometimes he usually shows me on Friday and on Saturday. But I think he actually showed me on, I believe it was Friday, actually. But I didn't get a chance to do the show because we were so busy with outreach. And so it was canceled. But we, he wanted me to speak about this. Psalm 98, again, you know, and it's like, this is like the first time that the Lord actually had me on a certain scripture for about a month, you know, when it comes to the social media and things like that. So I think it's really neat when you collaborate with what he wants, and he's like, I'm not done with this yet, you know, that there's still more to say, there's still more. And so I'm going to go back to Psalm 98, because what the Lord was ministering to me about was so funny. Saturday, which was yesterday, and that was October 17th, I was, after I dropped my husband off to his Saturday job, I was just sitting back, relaxing, and I had the radio on and about ready to go into Starbucks, and the Starbucks is by my husband's job, right? And all of a sudden, I was thinking, let me just put on the Christian radio station. Now, in New England, when they had the Christian radio station on Saturday, this is the Irish Hit Parade. But the Lord led me to put that on. And the song that came on was the Irish National Anthem. And I thought, oh, I never heard that before. Let me just listen to it, you know, listen to the words and things like that. And it was so amazing. It was all about being a soldier. I'm like, you know, wonder the Irish people, you know, have this social justice thing, military splendor thing around them, because it's all about being soldiers. Of course, in the spiritual, it's all about being a soldier of Christ. So then they put on, because they also wanted to bless those Irish people here in America. And so afterwards, they played the Star Spangled Banner, okay? But there were no words, and that bothered me. There were no words in the Star Spangled Banner. And I'm thinking, why aren't there words in the Star Spangled Banner, but there were words in the Irish National Anthem? Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And why am I so bothered, okay? And he was showing me that, that, you know, he appoints an angel over the governments of the world, each government of the world. And what's happening is that each government has their own national anthem, and that's one of the reasons why certain things happen in the government of the world, in the governments of the world, because of what's being sung out over the nations, okay? And sometimes, you know, we have wars because that's already sung out over the nations through the national anthems of the world. And you know, even in our families, you know, there's certain things, you know, we're not singing over our families. The Lord is saying that in singing the new song in the coming glory, he said he's going to be, this song's from heaven that he's going to release, okay, to the earth, all right, that are going to be sent out of over governments, all right. And I thought, whoa, you know, because we just spoke about how the Lord wants to sing a new song and how this is going to carry and usher the church into revival. But what about the nations, okay? Right now, Africa, certain parts of Africa are going through revival, and as the leaders come into that place of seeking the Lord's face and power and glory, and as a leader comes forth, so comes forth the new song. And so, yes, we are in a time of change, and change can be good or it can be detrimental if we don't understand the season that we are in as Christians. And it's up to us to give birth to this new season of song in which the nations of the earth are, the Lord is going to give the nations of the earth a new song coming from heaven. So our prayer is that we should pray for the nations around the earth to receive the new song that's being sung over each nation in the earth, because the Lord is he's setting up his kingdom, and he is the ultimate one that is going to restructure all the governments throughout the earth through his spirit. But and that's one of the reasons why there's so much fear in this change, because people don't know what season they're in, and they don't understand how extensive the Holy Spirit wants to work through even our government and things like that. So it's so important for us Christians to really, for us followers of Jesus, to come together in the spirit of unity to usher this forth. And the Lord was also saying that there's going to be a lot of healing, okay, in our for the next generation if we take up the cross and also begin as parents singing over each member of our family, because each member of our family has a new song that the Lord wants to release from heaven for each member of the family. Also, the Lord has a new song for us. Be careless with our words. We have to choose our words right. We have to walk upright. We have to speak life. We have to sing out life. We have to sing out salvation. We have to sing out agreement between heaven and earth in each town, each city, in each governmental structure throughout the nation, throughout the world. And this is important. This is on God's heart. And it was so amazing when he showed me this. It was like, oh, wow, Lord, I thank you for showing me this, because, I just, had no clue as to the extent of the effects of, national anthems being from you, And I have to say that America has more than one national anthem, I found. We My Country, Tis It Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, Of Thee I Sing. That's why we as a nation, we hold on to the values of freedom, and of course, is that split in the church as to just what freedom is. If the church understood, what true freedom really was in Jesus, and applied that to the nation and sang it out, and understood the power of singing things out, okay, we would be further along, all right. In the transformation process of the nation and as people. And so the Lord is really showing us that there are going to be new anthems that are going to be sung, but we need to be the forerunners of this, and we need to start bickering. We need to, because bickering can bring in that confusion and extreme opinionism. That's the true extremism, that, it's extreme opinionism in the negative. to the negative 99th billion degree, and if there's such a number, and so I just wanted just to remind people of what Psalm 98 is all about, and Kay has agreed to come on air at approximately 5 o'clock, and it's 4:55, so she should be on in about 5 minutes, okay? And let me just go to Psalm 98. Okay. Sing to the Lord a new song. This is almost like a commandment. Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. And that's why we sing songs. We sing a song because the Lord has done marvelous things, okay? I'm under the impression, like I said a couple of episodes ago, that I believe that Jesus didn't just speak the world into existence. He sang the world into existence, because when you sing, it's like praying twice. It's things get done quicker in the spirit than if you just spoke it without, the melodies of heaven. It's like the melody is like a vehicle for the miraculous, Just think about that. The melody is a vehicle for the miraculous, for the words to become alive. His right hand, okay, so sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. And who is his right hand and his holy arm? It's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. All right? And so when he does that, the nations that understand who they are, or the leaders that run these nations, they understand, when they finally understand, they get the revelation of just why they are leaders and why, and what their true mission and vision is. On this earth, then a new song can be sung out, a song coming from the gratitude of that particular leader. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And you know why King David was so powerful? I mean, we're reading why he was so powerful. He kept singing new songs unto the Lord. 150 of them, and probably plus more. Probably more, there were more songs or psalms that he composed and sang, but they didn't all get into the scriptures. Maybe it was the best ones, okay? Or maybe there was one out there that, would sum it up and, maybe it would save the ink. But you know what? Every song has a, it has a direction and flow, and it's a miracle that we're still reading this, even if it's in English and not in Hebrew. But of course, they say that Hebrew has greater meaning, because there's certain words in Hebrew that have not been translated into the English. It's probably more similar to Greek. There are probably a lot more Greek words, because Greek was the language of the institutions back in the learning, institutions of higher learning. Okay. And it says, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Why did he remember it? Because I really believe it's the songs of it were sung out to remind the Lord of what he, that we yes, Lord, we hear you. This is our song back to you, our song of gratitude. And I really believe that perks up God's DNA and opens up the Lord's ears when we sing back to him, when we minister to him. It does something to his heart, too, and it causes him to remember his promises that he has made. Not that the Lord has Alzheimer's or anything, but, it's that, that relationship. It's all based on relationship and our acknowledgement of that relationship.
It's on you.
That's why it's so important for us to come into that relationship with Jesus, because when you come into that relationship with Jesus, okay, by acknowledging who we are without him, and, you know, the fact that we're sinners and that we need a Savior, and that we need him to send us the Holy Spirit, that and then we need to get baptized to, you know, consecrate our relationship unto him. We have to, you know, we have to acknowledge that in that manner prescribed to us in the New Testament, because we, you know, that's the only way that we can come to the Lord. His Spirit draws us, you know, the Father God draws us through the Holy Spirit to Jesus, and Jesus is the way. He's also a door. He's a way, you know, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's the light. No one can come to the Father. I mean, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. So, you know, as we, you know, think about the kingdom and think about what, you know, he's doing and pondering, and, you know, and asking questions, it's because Father God has drawn us through the Holy Spirit to ask these questions. So, you know, this is, so it says, like, this is why, you know, it says that he remembers his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst in a jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. This is a prescription. I mean, you know, this is probably one of the better, this is probably the best, like, the best kind of musical instruments that the Lord loves. He loves harps. He loves guitars. You know, he just loves things that create melodies, okay? And then as they offer it up to him, he turns it into something greater than what we can ever, ever anticipate. It says he makes, so make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it. See, another thing, when we sing out unto the Lord, it causes a ripple effect in the universe. Not only in the universe, you know, like in space, the space realm and the heavenly realm, but also in seas, okay? In the seas, because water also carries, you know, vibrations, and it's like a ripple effect, okay? So let the sea resound and everything in it. So, you know, when the waters, okay, when the waters are affected, then, you know, and they become like unified to a sound, and it carries a greater sound into the throne room. All right. Let the rivers clap their hands. I want to get back up here. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So this is a charge that King David, you know, because of Revelation, has put out in Psalm 98. He realizes that, you know, that the sea can sing, that nature can sing, that everything and everyone on earth can sing. And it may not sound like a human response, but the vibrations of sound coming forth in creation, creating and recreating. That's the impact that worship has on the physical plane. You know, there's a recreation, a creation that happens. Okay. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. And, you know, it seems like the psalm is not as huge, it's not as long as the other. I just said huge, but that was not the best choice of word. But it's not as long as the other psalms. But, you know, there are, of course, some shorter psalms, but they're, you know, here's the other one, the antithesis, well, you know, the continuation of Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So, you know, we as a people, we as, you know, and I'm going to say a Christian nation because many, the reason why I'm saying that, because many nations all throughout the earth that are not necessarily, you know, American, of course, acknowledge us. They still acknowledge us as a Christian nation. So when other nations acknowledge you as a Christian nation, we're still a Christian nation, no matter what the battles are here, okay? But, you know, we know that the battle is the Lord and the battle is in our minds. And, you know, the enemy always, you know, that's his battlefield. He's always trying to go after the mind of man so that he can, so that, you know, we can be, have a callous heart and, you know, and have a hard heart and not do the will of God. So, you know, we really have to understand that we, you know, call for a purpose, but we really have to understand the place of worship, you know. And I just want to pray right now that the Lord, you know, that Jesus, you would just start waking up your people to understand the significance of worship. This shouldn't be worship and talk, you know. I just live to see the day, Jesus, where, you know, we go to church or fellowship somewhere on a Sunday or during a weekday, and it's just nothing but worship and maybe occasionally one or two words, three words, four words, you know, that we would just, like, just get into worship, the throes of worship, the, you know, the passion of worship, and stay there and let your spirit do what, you know, it wants to do and needs to do in your people. So, Lord, I just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would just go to and fro and, you know, and move in your people to have, like, these, and we don't want even want to call it 24/7. We don't know how long it's going to be. If we put a time frame on it, Lord, we're limited in what, to what you want to do. You know, it would be nice for 24/7, but we all have to work. But, you know, it's like, Lord, we need to be obedient to, you know, we need to be open to what your presence wants to do in the now, in the eternal now. So, Lord, I just give you permission right now, Lord, as a member of the body of Christ and as a United States, you know, citizen, to move in liberty, to move in power, to move in glory throughout the earth and just resurrect houses of prayer in your people, because we are all temples of the Holy Spirit. I consecrate everyone's heart to you in the body of Christ that calls themselves believers, followers of Jesus. And that they will consecrate themselves, like, you know, to the office of worship. We thank you, Lord, the worship that you want to release in this new season that we're coming into. And the Lord was showing me too that even though it's so funny, there's a lot of Christians that a lot of followers of Jesus. You know, and we have to be prudent in these economic times as far as travel is concerned. They don't understand what the Holy Spirit can do in the spirit. And what the Lord seems to be doing, he showed me today, he showed me that even if, you know, because we need to have people standing in for their towns that they were born in, that they grew up in, that they had some kind of physical connection to because of their familiarity with those towns. And, you know, and some people may have lived in three or four or five towns, but, you know, you need to write down the towns that you were born in, that you grew up in, you know, to take back the territory of the enemy. Because he was showing me that there were many places, four generations that have been consecrated to the Lord. And, you know, the enemy, you know, is sending out his evil servants out to try to desecrate those lands. But his desecration, the desecration of the enemy is not stronger than the consecration of what the Lord is doing. So there are many, there was a time period where many lands were consecrated unto the Lord, large land masses, okay? And the Lord through their presence, because we are carriers of his glory, okay? But we have to catch up with that reality. And so, Lord, I just ask that right now you're just moving your people so that we can catch up with that reality. And so, so what I'm saying is that we can have a powerful effect in this next season by, asking the, for standing in the gap for the towns which we were born in and we grew up in and lived in our lifetime up until now, all right? And I really believe the Lord wants to do something. You know, I've lived in, how many towns have I lived in since my, I came into existence? I lived in, I was born in Weymouth, and I lived in Brockton, Whitman, Stoughton. I lived in Worcester and New York, all right? And I was up in Canada for about a good month. So, that's living, when you can live there for, like, more than a day or two, or even visit it, okay? We'll put that in. We'll throw that in. So, I spent some significant time periods in about seven towns in my lifetime. And I'm sure that, there were probably others, that I failed to, talk about, because I have to go back to find out where I lived or even driven through. Anywhere where, the glory of the Lord moving through you and living through you was able to be deposited, because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry the glory, and like the ark, likened to the Ark of the Covenant, of yesteryear, of former days, because Jesus, he destroyed the temple in 3 days and he rebuilt it, and we are the temple, and he dwells in us and in the midst of us. So, when we understand that kingdom reality, we should have a greater impact, even in the territories in which we grew up in and we live in now. So, I just thought that was, like, so cool when the Lord revealed that to me. I grabbed a hold of that reality, maybe even one quarter of that, about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even longer, I think about 7 years ago. But right now, it's like, right now, because of the season in which we're entering into, the Lord seems to be really, really want to emphasize that more and more and more. So, that's your homework between now and the next time that I come on to Blog Talk Radio, and we might talk a little bit about this in Faith Talk by Prayer. And I felt so bad that I've been telling people we're going to do this, that a new episode of Faith Talk by Prayer, which is on Blog TV and airs on Facebook and as well as YouTube. I'm just waiting on the Lord about just when to have this episode, because it has a lot to do with coming into a new season. See, so when you come to a new season, it's like a new dish, this recipe that Father wants to give you. It's like you got to make this dish, because it's something that no one's ever tasted before, and you got to get the ingredients together, but Father God is going to get those ingredients together, and he's going to create such a delicacy, that people are going to want to savor it forever. So, that's what he's doing right now in the spirit, and sometimes it seems like, we are procrastinating, but we are not. He is the one that is directing our steps, it's because that's what happens when we follow him. Let's see if I can get to that scripture in Ephesians that speaks about that very aspect of kingdom reality, about directing our steps. Wow. Let's see. Oh, this is when I wish my husband was here, because he's really good. As I'm going to find in the scripture, it'll come on and just tell me what it is, and that kind of saves time. Let's see, 4. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Okay. Well, I'm trying to find that, and I can't find that. Why? Because. But the scripture, it's in this New Testament about, you know, the Lord directs our steps, and he makes our path straight. Okay, it's in Proverbs. It just came to me. All right, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, yes. This is the wisdom chapter in Proverbs 3. I'm going to just read it down to 9. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And it's really wonderful when you can acknowledge him through song, through the worship of heaven. He loves to be ministered to. And he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. When I read that earlier today in church, my eyes focusing on, and here we are going to the world is going into the season of Halloween. Fear the Lord is shun evil. And there's many people, because we haven't been good ambassadors of God's peace as followers of Jesus, they are really drawn and attracted to evil. And these people, I mean, if you ever, you know, like I spoke to some, you know, I've been speaking to people because, you know, when we're in the world, we, you know, we have to work in the world, but we're not of the world. So, you know, of course, there are people that are not believers. But it's so funny, you know, they see they have this kind of joy still. It's a false joy, I believe, but or a limited joy. But yet, you know, when you start hearing what they're into on the internet and, you know, and the evil characters that they're drawn to, and they start saying that they're good, it's like, all right, they're under a spirit of deception. And then you start feeling bad for them. So, you know, what I've been doing lately is been praying for them. And as I've been praying for these particular people that the Lord, you know, seems to make me aware of because of my everyday contact through my job, I have to, like, I'm like, all right, I have to put the fact that they are friendly to me for now. I said they could change any time because they are not rooted in this kingdom. And even then, it's a battle. We have to, you know, I have to always cover everything with the blood of Jesus and constantly keep them in prayer and ask the Lord to, you know, show him, to show them his salvation. And constantly praying for people's salvation. And any time that they ask me a question, when it comes to spiritual things, I have to, that's the time when I have to speak the truth of Jesus. So so what's happening is that I was discerning that, because I asked a little question, Lord, why are they drawn to evil? And will show me that evil is like a drug, you know. And also there's like a vacuum, like a alternate power thing happening, where it's like a vacuum, okay. And when evil is like a vacuum, it sucks up the dirt. Well, it sucks the person in to like a black hole. And that's the characteristics of evil. And usually, you know, and how that happens in the life of a human being is that there's an enticement or a seduction, there's a seduction that is like it pulls them in that direction. And, the opening is definitely sin. It could be sin visited upon them or, a choice that they're making. And it's usually attached, to the evil spirit, to an evil spirit. And especially when the person comes into agreement with that. But then what happens is that there's an addiction component to it, too. Like they must, have these things. They must see, they must draw their strength from it, their power. So that's where the lie lies. It's like they must have it. If they don't, if they're not part of it, they feel rejected. But it's a fault, it's like a rejection, it's like a rejection of power, when a person feels powerless, like the powerlessness of someone who is caught up in evil when they can't get their power fixed, it's 10 times as worse than, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, and the Lord wants to deal with the control issues, because we've already said that we are submitting our will to the Lord Jesus, and it's easier because of grace. But in the case of evil, it's like when the power trip is like is not there, it's like the person can get into like a real deep hole and depression sets in like never before. And so what happens is that it can get to the point where the person might want to even kill themselves. So that's why it's really, really tough, like when somebody willingly gives their lives over to the enemy through the occultic practices. The more that one gets involved in that, the greater attachment to the desire of evil, the greater attachment to the desire of evil. And so, it's like there's an addiction to that. So, and of course, the enemy likes to throw in the sexual overtones of that, too. And that makes it even, like, more addictive. So, that I'm just showing you that. So this is why he wants me to pray that, a lot of people don't pray that to break the addiction to evil. But evil, people can be addicted to evil, and they may not even think it's evil at the time. That's the deceptive part of that. So, before we sign off, we have about, 38 minutes left. I want to read why this happens from Ephesians. We're going to go back to Ephesians, and then we are going to. And then we're going to pray and see what the Lord wants to do. Okay. And I guess Kate is not going to call me, or maybe she tried to. I believe that the phone was ringing, my other phone, my house phone, is ringing. So before we even do that, she might need that number again. So I'm going to call her back. I'm going to do a call back on the other phone. You're all going to hear me calling her. This is like a homegrown show, and that's why I love it. We try to be, pretty semi-professional, but it's all the Lord's. Okay, let me just call her back. All right, hold on for 1 second. Oh, I know. Hi, Kate. Hey, Kate, I'm still online. I was just finishing the thought here, and I'm still on air, but you need to call 718-664-6360, and then I can, Really? Oh, wow, I'm doing it right now. I'll call it again, 718-6360. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. So, anyways, she was telling me that the computer said there was no show, but there is actually a show because I'm doing this. So, anyways, you know, in a couple minutes, if I see her coming on, then I'll what I will do is put her on. But let's see. Let's go to Ephesians 6 while we wait for Kate. Okay, there she is. Hi, Kate. There you go. Hi, Kate.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, yourself?
Good. Wow. I dialed the wrong number.
Oh, that's all right. No problem.
Six times.
That's all right. You're on, you know? You're on.
That's
well,
good.
We talked about Psalm 98 and how the Lord wants to, you know, speak, you know, he wants to release the new songs over nations, over people in our families and over the family. I can't believe it. As I'm talking to you, the snow's accumulated. Oh, Lord. But look, you know what? You created the snow. Just make it safe for everybody. And so, you know, we want right now we're at a point of the show where we are, you know, the Lord showed me that, you know, that he, from, you know, I just actually was in Proverbs before you called, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 6. But, you know, just for your sake, we were in Psalm, I was in Proverbs 3 because I wanted to talk about how, you know, the Lord directs our steps. And he can do that through the worship, right? But I read it all the way from, I started at the beginning. But let me just read from 5 through to 8, okay. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Right? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And, you know, we talked about this before in previous shows, how there are many, you know, people that, you know, young people and, you know, older people too, that for some reason are drawn to evil and they may not even know it, or if they do, if they kind of like reason it away and say, well, it's just like, it's not really real, but, you know, this is, you know, it's like a hobby, you know, like I was talking about, like, games out there, computer games. And, you know, we're coming to that time of Halloween, and Halloween is not, like, my best part of the harvest time, you know. It's, like, not my idea of harvest time. It's, like, if we could just do away with Halloween, I would be so happy, you know. Going to Christmas, and thank God it's snowing, because I want to sing Santa Claus, well, not Santa Claus, Coming to Night. I mean, Cat. I want to sing Silent Night, you know. I want to sing, like, Christmas songs. Santa Claus. Maybe not that. Oh, my God. Anyway, I want to sing Jingle Bells, you know.
Which version?
Not the one that Santa smells, but...
Oh, dang it.
You know, all the way? Right. I mean, it's like I want to put on my tree and it's snowing out. I
You're
love
like
it.
My mom. Way too early
yeah.
for Christmas.
Yeah. So anyways, the Lord was showing me, like, you know, like... people are addicted to evil. Like, it's an addiction. I was, like, asking the Lord, like, why are people drawn to evil, you know, on different levels? And he said it's an addiction. It's not just a fascination. It's an addiction. What do you say about that, Kate? I mean, even some Christians can believe it.
Well, I think the devil gets in and is like, hey, it's just human nature. We can do whatever we want, you know, but it kind of goes back to you and I have talked a lot about holiness, you know, and it kind of goes back to people lacking an idea for consecration, you know. It's kind of like secular humanism in the church, you know, where everything goes, you know, and it's kind of, I don't know, I just think it's just another tactic of the enemy, you know. I don't know. I guess people just want to satisfy their flesh, but the problem is we're not supposed to live by our flesh. We're supposed to live by our spirit, you know, and by his spirit in us. So it's kind of like people are trying to live by their flesh but and satisfy whatever they want, but it doesn't work that way. So,
well, I believe that they're living by their flesh because they haven't been taught any other way. They haven't had good examples, you know, from followers of Jesus around them to live any other way, you know.
That's true.
But, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of children that have been born with autism in this day and age. And I really think the Lord wants us to learn something spiritually from these autistic children. One of the things that I've been reading about with Temple Grandin, who survived autism, she teaches now, she's Dr. Temple Grandin, she was saying that there is something about autism that when, you know, that the learning style of that child, you know, afflicted with autism, learns better when they have a good mentor their same age. And they do things called taking turns, you know, you do it and then I'll do it, you know, that kind of thing. And you know, if they're taught the right way, they're going to have good behavior still. But if they're taught the wrong way, they're not going to have the best behavior in the world, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's how it is in the body of Christ, you know, in the spirit. Now, we have to have leaders, we have to, that on every level, you know, they have to, you have to almost have like a peer-to-peer, you know, like a peer-to-peer mentor, spiritual mentorship, you know, for different levels, different age groups, you know, people in spirit, and, you know, whether it be one generation helping out another generation, but we have to, you know, understand the life of a believer and implement that the best way we know how, and you know, it definitely comes from the place of worship. You know, when a person's like opens to the refiner's fire in the worship, you know, of him, you know, and this like societies of, you know, within the faith community of people that just want, you know, that need to mentor people in how to live as followers of Jesus, you know, the way that it's prescribed in the scriptures. What do you think about that? Yeah. you had some awesome. I just want to talk more about like how the Lord did that in your life. I mean, you know, tell the, you know, share with the viewing, the listening audience, not the viewing audience, the listening audience about
your
audience. Yeah, about how you know, what that meant for you in your, you know, in your early days of your existence. I mean, you know, share what you've been sharing with.
What are we talking about exactly?
Well, we're just talking about, right now we're just talking, you know, we want to move into like, you know, I want to pray. I want to get to praying for people, you know, that have been, you know, caught in that, you know, they have been really addicted to evil, right? Because the second half, we're talking about, you know, how, you know, people can get out of that, you know, by the power of the Lord, through the blood of Jesus. But, you know, but talk, you know, give them an idea of what, you know, good mentorship, you know, was for you. You know what I mean? We talked about what, you know, why this is, you know, why people, you know, can fall into this, you know, and the first thing is lack of mentorship, lack of discipleship, and as it's prescribed in the scriptures. And also, you know, the battle is not flesh and blood, it's in the spirit.
Right.
So,
powers
and
principalities.
Yeah.
I don't know.
well, you know, you were adopted, right? You know, I mean,
you had a
classic example of like, you know, when we come into the kingdom. We are all adopted, but you had that physical experience because
twice adopted is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I just think, I mean, for me, if we're talking about mentors, you know, for me, my parents were very, I mean, the Lord couldn't have blessed me with anybody else, because, you know, it's known that people who are adopted in the natural usually have rejection, you know, spirits of rejection and stuff attached to them, and really are so rejected. And it doesn't mean that I've never felt that way, but, like, my parents, like, for me, my parents have been my mentors, you know, and they really, I mean, I have some spiritual mentors outside my family, but my parents have really been my strength, you know, and I'm thankful for them, because it's, like, classic cases, most people who are adopted, you know, feel like, you know, they're not worthy of anything, you know, and it's kind of like a lot of people who are, and I've noticed that a lot of people who are adopted can't get into that relationship with the Lord, because they don't know what it's like to feel like you're really loved a lot of times, because it's like, well, why did my birth parents leave me? Why this, why that, you know? But for me, my mentorship came from straight from my parents, because I was blessed that they adopted me and that they chose me, you know. And with the Lord, you know, he chooses us. We don't, I mean, we have to choose him to say yes, but the thing is, many are called, few are chosen, you know, and few are chosen into the kingdom, you know, as a, I mean, we're all accepted as sons and daughters, but we have to make that choice, but he knows since the foundations of the earth, who's going to choose him, you know, so, does that make sense? So,
yeah,
it's kind of similar, you know, it's like the Lord chose us just as my birth parent, or my parents chose me, you know, so, I don't know.
Well, you know, and the environment that you grew up in wasn't just your typical Christian environment. It was a worshiping environment. You know, can you share with the viewing audience what that worship environment was, and how the prophetic word was spoken over you, and even maybe sang over you? Because we talked about the new song in Psalm 98. So this is where, you know, this is the connection.
Yeah, it was. I mean. Well, I've said before on here that I grew up, like, you know, in my, you know, like, in really big revival services, you know, like the First Lakeland revival.
Who's revival? Who's revival service?
Rodney Hard Brown, and
yeah.
2010's revival back in the 90s. And so I grew up in this place where people, you know, my parents were so open. They've always been really, really open. They're not, like, religious, not that I have any problems with religious people, but they're free. There's, like, you know, whatever Holy Spirit wants to do, he wants to do. And my dad would come home so many nights back in the early 90s, like, completely drunk in the spirit, like, so gone, you know. And it was just awesome, because it's like my mom, actually, people have told my mom she's supposed to be a nun, because she has that walk of intimacy with Jesus where she just wants him, you know. And she just, and that's really been encouragement to me, because all I want is him too. So my mom has been in that place where she's always wanted just him and wanted intimacy with him. And, you know, so I did grow up in a place where the Lord really was free to move how he wanted to move. There was no restraints, really. And, you know, my parents wanted as much of him as they could get. So it's been a good place to grow up in.
Wow. So, you know, to thrive in atmosphere of worship, you know, is probably the best thing for a child, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little child, and especially when it can also, you know, be carried back to home, you know, where you live. And,
right.
Wow, this is so awesome and so great. But, you know, of course, you had your share of spiritual warfare battles because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, obviously you are following the Lord. You know, but the enemy working through people or just working directly did not like that, because you're a threat to the kingdom, you know. Yeah. Can you talk more about that? You know, and it's just, you know, and how believers, you know, how people can, you know, like, take authority. I mean, talk about how you had to do all that.
If you guys are on my Facebook, you can read my testimony. I wrote it yesterday. But, you know, I basically went through 5 years of, I didn't feel his presence. I was totally abused by the church. I'd go into churches and they'd actually physically abuse me. And, you know, I got emotionally abused. People were saying I was demon-possessed, and I wasn't demon-possessed, you know. And it was just a really hard time in my life, you know. And so eventually, like, because of people, like, the devil was speaking through people, through their mouthpiece. It wasn't mean that they were possessed by him, but, you know, he was – they were being used as pawns to speak through, you know, and they would speak horrible things into my life. You know, spirit-filled Christians would speak things like, you're not a Christian, you know, God doesn't love you, you do this, this, and this wrong, you know, you're demon-possessed, blah, 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 all kinds of stuff. And then, like, the devil started working on me through my mind, thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, you're not really saved, you're going to hell, God's not even real, a bunch of stuff for 5 years. And it was, I mean, it was a tough spiritual warfare. And on top of that, I had people at my school threatening to kill me, and it was just horrible. But the thing I got from all that is what you have to do to get through spiritual battles. And we're always going to, I mean, we live in a battle. The battle is, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against powers and principalities. So there's always going to be some sort of battle. But when you're in the battle, the thing to do is just to be desperate and seek the Lord. And even if you don't feel him, even if you don't hear his voice, even if you don't even feel like he exists at the time, you just have to keep pressing in and keep. I did that for 5 hours a night for 5 years. I would be like, Lord, where are you? You know, until finally there was breakthrough. So really, if you guys are going through spiritual warfare, you just have to press in and keep your trust in the Lord, because, you know, kind of like that scripture verse we were reading earlier about, you know, not relying on your own strength. He is the strength. So, you know, just rely on him through everything, and he will get you through. And it might be a long process, but
yeah, he'll direct your path, you know, put you on the straight path. Now, what was the breakthrough, you know, for so that people can, like, you know, there are people out there that, you know, they don't even have, sometimes they not only just lose their faith, they lose their hope. You know, a lot of times it's temporary, and the Lord will restore that. But, what, you know, at what point, what did the breakthrough look like?
I kind of had a couple parts to breakthrough, you know, I went through, there was like two different parts that I went through. The first breakthrough, it was just a sign from the Lord that he still loved me, you know, and it was something that he spoke to me through. There was a shooting star one night, and that spoke to my heart for some reason, and then he started speaking back to me. But the real breakthrough actually came, you know, you've heard it say that through your darkest times, you know, you can't reach any darker than your darkest time. So I tried to commit suicide, you know, and that was my darkest time. But right after that, it was breakthrough. Now, don't go try to commit suicide, guys, but, you know, like, that was, for me, a lot of times when it's the darkest of the dark night, you know, of your soul, that's when the Lord's going to break through, and when he's going to bring you the joy and bring you the peace that he, you know, whatever your circumstance might be, the darkest place is actually the place to praise, because when you're in that darkest place is right before your breakthrough. So, yeah. So you just have to keep the faith up.
Yeah, and at that point, how did he break through for you at that point? Like, you know, what did he, you know, how did he intervene?
Well, it's just like, I when I got to that point, it was like I knew that there couldn't be anything lower than trying to commit suicide, you know, because I felt like I was actually dying, you know, and I cried out to him. I said, Lord, please don't let me die. I don't want to die, you know. But then after that, it was a series of months where I just was just praying, and I just started to really, I was like, God, I can't do this any longer. I need your help, you know, and then he just started to bring me the help. He started to show up in my life, I started to encounter him more, and it just really, and then eventually, like, 6 months later, he just broke through, like, bust through, like, every single wall ever, you know, and he just totally poured into me, and it was amazing, you know.
Now, you were at this point where you had nothing, you know, left. You didn't even know how to get out of it. So did you, like, you know, what effort, if any at all, did you put into it? Did you just say, yes, I'll do it, you know, or did you just allow yourself to, you know, by the suggestion of another, place yourself in the atmosphere where the worship was happening and the presence of God was being poured out?
I didn't have any church. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have Jack. I mean, I had my parents, but I didn't have anything whatsoever. It was my parents and the Lord. And eventually I got to the point where, you know, my family, not my parents, but my extended family turned on me right after I did that and said a bunch of stuff to me, you know, and I had every person in my life turn against me except for my mom and dad. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what, Lord, you know, I'm either going to walk this life out fully for you, or I'm just going to, like, not exist anymore. And so I don't want it, you know, I don't want to live the way I'm living. So basically I got to the point where I was like, look, I surrender everything to you. I surrender because I don't have anything left to surrender. So here, take it all, you know. It's like breaking out the alabaster box of your life before the Lord, and he just totally mends you, and he puts you all back together with his spirit, you know, and he starts to move in you. And he did spiritual heart surgery on me for 6 months where he took away all the bitterness, all the rejection, everything, you know, he took it away and he brought me joy, you know, and just his fullness of his, well, not the fullness, but, you know, most, a lot of his presence, you know, and it just started as this,
yeah. So he brought you to the end of yourself, and you knew you were at the end of yourself. That knowledge, acknowledgement at such a young age, that is quite remarkable that you felt like you were just...
Actually, it's funny because I remember, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I remember, actually this morning I was looking at myself in the mirror when I was putting my makeup on for church, and the Lord reminded me of something I said right at my very end of my wits, and I said, I'm not going to live past 20. Now I'm 19 and a half now, and I'm like, wow, Lord, I thought that at this point I'd be like, you know, totally pulling my hair out, you know, and so it's like when I reach my 20th birthday, that's going to be like a huge celebration to me because the devil had lied to me and said that, you know, I was going to die on my 20th birthday. You know, he had lied to me that I would never live to see me myself turn 20. So,
really?
You know, when I reach that day, I'm going to throw myself a big party.
We will celebrate with you. You know, and the thing is, the wisdom is that you went past the fear. You gave everything over. You surrendered. And at that point of surrender, it gives permission for the Lord to intervene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like you weren't following the Lord. It's just that, you know, you had gone through your dark night of the soul.
Right.
And, you know, that's because of his love for you. And he wanted you to get to this point. So he knew that the day, the hour, and the time of your life that you were going to do this, you know? And
right.
He set you up. It was a divine setup through your parents. You know, who partook in the revivals, you know, and
right.
Rodney Howard Brown and Tommy Tenney to set the atmosphere in motion, you know, so within
right.
you and outside of you. So, I just thank God that he can do that over and over again if we just let him. It's just, and when people wake up and realize, oh, wow, you know, this stuff that I'm in is pure evil. If you didn't choose it, like in your case, you didn't choose to be adopted, but you know the enemy tried to set you up to a total self rejection. I remember when I was younger. Well, the Lord brought me back a couple of days ago to when I was a baby. I was listening to the song. You know the song by The Fray, "Never Say Never," "Don't Let Me Go," "Don't Let Me Go."
Sounds familiar.
It's on YouTube. I actually have it on our station as a featured video, because the Lord began to show me that's the cry of many, many babes in the spirit. Now, they don't want to be let go. They don't want to be abandoned, you know, in this love walk with the Lord. And, you know, and it's that cry that comes up out of our soul in our dark night, you know. And I remember when I was younger, I had that fear of abandonment because of things generationally, you know, and I was just the firstborn to receive this, and it wasn't like, it was like, when I was a baby, when I was an infant, I perceived that, you know, that no one really understood me the way that God understood me, you know, and I knew that when I was a baby.
That's awesome.
but the thing is, I developed at a very young age, you know, that I didn't trust. I didn't trust that they would take
people.
Care of me the way that God wanted me to take care of, you know. And
right.
He means that. I always wanted to be held, and I never wanted to be let go, you know. And nobody would.
That's cute.
It just seems like nobody wanted to hug me, and you know. So you know, I would let the pillows hug me, or you know, I'd like to sleep through the wall on the pillows and blankets, and even to this day, I like to wrap myself in my blankie. You know, but my husband understands that. He's so cute. He's like, you want your blankie? I'm like, yeah. I even have a blankie song.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that's the one allowing me to be that little girl that, you know, always wanted to be hugged. But that's how he's working it out. And the thing is, it's like we all have that cry, you know. And some, of course, have the luxury and the gift and the, you know, of a loving family that, you know, they always are getting their hugs all the time. But people need to be hugged. It even says in, you know, research, you know, as the isolation is not good for a human being, and especially as they grow older, you know.
Right.
You know, they get more to isolationism, and they don't have the hug that they, you know, that they're being needs, that, you know, they could die at a very early age. So, you know, they even did twin studies like that, you know, where one twin was, you know, adopted to a family that was full of love and full of hugs, and, you know, another one wasn't, and, you know, they followed them throughout their whole lifetime, and the one that didn't receive less hugs, you know, didn't live as long as the other one. So, you know, it's like, we have to understand the hugs and the acceptance and, you know, in perspective and things like that. And I think that, you know, we need more of that in discipleship, and not out of hand, but even in warm words and manner of speech and different things like that. You know, we have to know that we are loved, you know, no matter.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, everyone. Well,